Welcome to the Nerdcast, episode 26 of our third season here. Kind of a somber start to this one, as we are recording just the night after, basically social media, more buzz than I've ever seen it about a celebrity's passing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the passing of Robin Williams. So we do have the full team here tonight, and as you can tell, we're all ready to talk about somebody who definitely was a very funny man, but also an incredible actor and somebody who starred in movies that affected so many from our generation.
Definitely.
Easily said.
Definitely
so
made an impact.
Aaron, Bob, Tyler, Adam, Iggy here for the Nerdcast. I guess let's talk about it. Robin Williams, so 63 years old, mm-hmm. passed away. Ruled initially an apparent suicide, but I think it's pretty much been confirmed now.
Yeah.
All that. So one of those sad stories about the people that make you laugh the most, how, you know, they're hiding, they're fighting those same demons or sometimes even more intense.
Worse than us. Yeah,
for sure. I mean, what more can be said than the many variety of characters he did? He did incredible stand up. Very funny. I mean, even just telling his life story in a stand-up routine was some of the funniest stuff you'd ever seen. And going to fantastic actor in children's movies, to
yep.
fantastic actor in movies you will never let your children see, to, you yep. know, to both as a comedian, but also as a serious actor. Academy Award winner for Good Will Hunting. Probably one of his best performances ever in Dead Poets Society.
Yeah.
You
probably should switch that.
I mean, those two roles right there, I think, are his greatest acting performances ever.
No,
He's got a lot of good ones. He's got a lot of good ones, but I don't know.
Those are the two I'm going to remember.
See, the thing with Dead Poets Society is definitely the one I'll remember, and it's definitely one that right. affected me. But you go back and watch it now, and I don't think it, compared to some of the other performances he's put in movies like Good Will Hunting, like One Hour Photo, like World's Greatest Dad, like, what's the thriller one?
Insomnia.
Yeah.
I think Blow, because like, I don't want to degrade it, because I love that movie, but Dead Poets Society is the melodramatic kind of low hanging.
It's the heartwarming kind of.
It's, but
it's
it picks the
it's the low hanging.
He still does a good job.
It's fantastic.
It still does a really, really good job. Right.
So, but he has better things on his resume.
So Bob, yeah. and I'll let you start it with more than one word, like we've had the last few episodes. But so most memorable movie for you, you know, maybe role, movie, whatever, for Robin Williams.
For me, I mean, honestly, it's World According to Garp.
Really?
It was made after Mork and Mindy was canceled. It didn't do really well at the box office. It was a critical success. It didn't do well at the box office, mainly because people were, like, kind of shocked, because they were expecting Robin Williams is Mork on screen. And I don't know if you guys have seen World According to Garp. I mean, it's the thing is back in the
80s. He's one of those ones who definitely, you have your Jim Carreys, your Will Ferrells, who established themselves as a comedian and then attempted those more serious roles. And like you're kind of making that point from the get-go. Robin Williams was one of those ones that here he is 1 minute as this just hilarious person, and here he is in a more serious role the next minute. You know? And he's still usually, even in those serious roles,
funny.
He brought a bit of comedy to it, but it was still range.
But here he didn't. That's the whole thing. It was a very serious role. I think it was something that he wanted to break away, get away from that Mork and Mindy mold and do some serious acting. And it is a very serious performance. It is very powerful. It's a fantastic story. And the craziest thing is, last Friday, I worked out of town over the weekend, and I was getting some movies, and I was getting World According to Garp. And so, you know, when all yesterday happened, I had just gotten back into town yesterday morning, and then you hear the news, and I go to my computer, and it's like, oh, wow, I just downloaded that. And so I actually have been watching that last night.
Legally, of course.
Yes. And,
I mean,
but yeah, it's you know, it is my favorite Robin Williams performance.
So, Aaron.
It's hard to even talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
a favorite movie, just even a title?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, thanks for joining us tonight.
Okay. You're going to force my hand. There's so much that Robin Williams is just like, he's everywhere. But the thing that probably, like, even though I don't like that movie as much as I do some of his other movies, it's probably Good Will Hunting that I feel like he has the biggest presence and makes the biggest impact to me, like, just as a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
He's just such a good character in that movie.
Yeah. Tyler?
It's tough for me because I don't know if it's because of when I grew up, but, like, he was in so many movies, and specifically the movies that either A, like, weren't real big or real popular, or B, he doesn't play huge parts in them, but those ones, like, stick in your head. I don't know what it is. Like, if I think objectively about the biggest ones that, like, had an effect on me, obviously Aladdin came out when I was, you know, 9, 10 years old. Like, that was a big movie for me. But I already knew, like, who Robin... You knew who Robin Williams is. Between Comic Relief with him and Billy Crystal and Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, they were on TV.
Yeah.
They were on TV every year, annually, with this big show, and it was a huge deal.
Not even that. At that time, Mork and Mindy was one of the Nick at
TV
Night.
Yeah, on TV. Nick at Night. Yeah, I watched it on Nick at Night. Obviously, Dead Poets Society was big. Good Will Hunting. But the ones I remember are, like, the weird, like, popular comedies, like the Mrs. Doubtfires, or the Birdcages, but it's also like the weird ones, like Club Paradise. Anyone remember that one? Or him doing the voice of Batty in Ferngully, that creepy ass movie Toys that I remember wanting to see as a kid, and then seeing it and just not understanding what was going on, and then watching it again later on and being like, "This is messed up." But I mean, it's a fun movie. What other ones has he done that are
so weird? The Doctors and Awakenings.
Oh, yeah, Awakenings.
I saw that last week,
I mean,
too.
I love... And then, like, as I've gotten older and gone back and watched other stuff, there's things that, like, now I can appreciate. Like, The Fisher King. Like,
yeah.
I was 10. I didn't understand what was going on there, but, like,
you mentioned a few other of his darker roles earlier, like the one-hour photo, Final Cut.
World's Greatest Dad.
Insomnia. Definitely different tone there.
And so, what's the one... The other... Did? What's the... Not Fisher King, but the other radio... The Night Listener. Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you mentioned radio, Nolan, and you didn't mention Good Morning Vietnam.
I was waiting to see if somebody was...
Yeah. Adam, your favorite one. I mean, everything being listed, obviously.
Yeah, no,
fantastic.
I'm a hair older than you and Tyler, and my sister is older than me, so I'm the youngest.
Gray hair older.
Yeah, it happens. But so I was at a kind of a weird place where I was a little old. Like, I liked Ferngully and I liked Aladdin, but they weren't, like, necessarily marketed at me. And I was too young to get into Good Morning Vietnam and The Fisher King and all those other movies. So probably the one that stood out for me with Robin Williams would have been Hook.
He took my answer.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, with everything yesterday, I immediately put on Hook. And I watched Hook and it's such a good, I mean, obviously it's an amazing story, and, you know, you got Dustin Hoffman and you got Bob Hoskins. I mean, amazing, amazing cast. But the trail, the path that Peter Banning leads in that movie is, I think, really a message that Robin Williams was wanting to get out in his life. You hear all these quotes about, you know, you only have a spark of insanity and you can't let go of it. You got to hold on to it with everything you can, like all that type of stuff. That's really kind of the message in Hook is, you know, he's the stuffy lawyer who used to be Peter Pan, and now he doesn't even have any fun at all. Zero fun, nothing at all. And kind of growing and becoming someone who can enjoy everything about life again. You know, I think that is what Robin Williams is to me.
Well, we are multiple generations removed from the animated classic Peter Pan. We are, you know, obviously many generations removed from the actual novel. I say many, a couple. But we are a generation short of the more recent adaptation that bombed anyways. So to us, I mean, Robin Williams is Peter Pan. That's it. And like you said, it was a great telling that was not like didn't follow the book necessarily, you know. But at the same time, you mentioned the rest of the cast, Steven Spielberg. I mean, everything about that movie
Yeah.
was was perfect, especially for the time. It I mean, in the early 90s, that was exactly what you wanted. So, I don't know, Hook, obviously, my favorite as well. I've recently seen it in theaters again, something I can watch over and over again. Good Will Hunting's the other one, though, that I will put on a monthly basis and just turn it on in the background. Absolutely love that movie. And him in it, yeah, I think he is the most, I think Aaron kind of worded it too. He influenced, obviously, I mean, he is the influencer in the movie. You know, that's his character's position is to basically correct the path of Matt Damon's character and does so fantastically. I think, though, as a father, the thing I have tried to do the most is make sure that my kids have had every opportunity to see Hook, Aladdin, and Mrs. Doubtfire as many times as possible. I mean, that's all there is to it. And when my son's old enough, it'll probably be the same with Good Will Hunting, you know, Dead Poets Society, Good Morning Vietnam, a few of those other ones too. But I even not liking the movies as much, like Robots, Ferngully, Jumanji.
Wait, whoa.
Yep.
Who doesn't like Ferngully?
I like it, but not as much as this other stuff. And Jumanji's another one that I'll watch, but it wasn't like... I know so many people loved it, and I just was kind of like, about it. Even not just being blown away by those movies, the character he plays in all of those movies is what makes it worth the watch, in my opinion. Ferngully, it has some more to it that makes it a decent watch, and it's been a while since I've seen it, so visit it. But Robots and Jumanji, to me, are not that great of films, but his character, especially in Robots, I mean, there's no other reason to watch that animated film besides his quirky character.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the one that stands out to me on top of Hook and kind of a different side of Robin Williams that I hadn't seen before was really 1 Hour Photo. Because, his character and his acting in that is so spot on and unsettling, deeply unsettling.
It's terrifying.
That and the early Christopher Nolan flick that we've mentioned a few times, Insomnia.
Yeah.
He is absolutely horrifying in that one as well. He played the creep like incredibly, like he just because he made you uncomfortable in those roles.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah,
just his presence on the screen without hardly doing anything, just the way his behaviors, his body language, everything about it just made it incredibly uncomfortable. When he was cast on that side of the coin, on the villain side.
Mm-hmm. Well, that to me is just ridiculous. That how, and everything else that everything he's where he's supposed to be. You know the idea of Robin Williams that we all have, immediately comforting when he's on screen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then in the movies where he's supposed to be creepy, like you said, it's immediate as soon as he's on screen. I don't remember any lines from 1 Hour Photo. I just remember him standing there, with that glasses,
blank look on his face.
Oh yeah, I mean,
there's the alternate slipcover for the DVD now.
Yeah,
that has it where it's kind of like the film negative of just his face on the cover, and it's like I'm not putting that on the shelf with the slipcover.
I'm gonna be afraid
what was
of this
that movie where people had a chip planted in
Final Cut. Yeah,
did you guys talk about that one?
He was, we mentioned the title, but there's so many, but that's another one that just kind of got dismissed and,
so good.
So I'll tell you the one that I'm not entirely sure I'll ever just not to be like morbid and weird about it, but like discussing the circumstances, like not sure I'll ever actually be able to watch again. And it came out to very mixed, I guess, responses is What Dreams May Come. I don't think I'll be able to watch that movie again.
It was a beautiful, beautiful movie.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's just it's
the place
it's
it goes is a little weird.
It's just going to get a little bit too personal.
But the plot of it, the whole like reason for being, the whole MO of his character, I don't think I'll be able to watch that movie.
That'll be a tough one to watch. Yeah.
Well, I got to be honest. As I was watching Hook last night, my wife came home, and was like, "Oh, what are you doing?" I was like, "Yeah, just watching Hook." And she goes, "Yeah, I can't." You know, she said, "I can't believe it," and it impacted me just having that talk about, you know, talking to her about it a little bit while Hook was playing in the background was, you know, definitely got me a little more than I thought it would, and that I was surprised by that.
My initial response was just kind of shocked, and you know, shared my comment on Facebook like everybody else did because it was one of those ones where. I was thinking back last night, and I thought, and it was weird because when Adam Yauch from the Beastie Boys, when he passed away, and I'm like, and I was telling, I was shocked, and the whole day I was in the car, so I had Alt Nation on Sirius on the whole day, and they had, I mean, it was all about him the entire day, so right. It was 8 hours, and it was just in my face, and my thought, when I was talking to my wife about it, I said, you know, Michael Jackson was the last one that kind of impacted me like this. Like, I was just shocked and sat there for a whole day just watching Michael Jackson content. And I sat there and I thought, I don't know if there is another celebrity alive right now that, you know, will have that effect on me. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. going to have that impact. And I was wrong. I mean, last night, it was overwhelming, the response on Facebook. It was mm-hmm. overwhelming, the comments. And it sucked to see something like I can't remember his name right now. Tony L. Cook from Minneapolis, Minnesota, who's an asshole. Not on my friends list on Facebook, by the way, but you know, making
that was very specific. Is this someone?
Yeah, but he making certain comments about how this ridiculous that people are affected like this. People, you know, take their lives all the time with depression and stuff. And yeah, they do. And for us to say it's ridiculous, like I said,
just dismiss it.
There's people who aren't as depressed because of the influence of Robin Williams, and it's hard to, you know, it sounds crazy when you say that. But for us to sit here and dismiss the impact the entertainment industry has on our lives day to day is ridiculous. And well, he truly has impacted our generation.
There's so I was reading all that stuff yesterday as well. And Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs had an amazing, amazing comment about it, about that specific thing, about how this impacts so many people. And he said that there are things in your life that are benchmarks. And he went on to tell a story about how he remembered watching Mork and Mindy and kissing the first girl he had a crush on in high school. And about, so like, when he heard about it, he was instantly taken back to high school Mike Rowe kissing his girlfriend at the time. And about how seminal of a moment that was, and that the fact that, you know, they were even together just so they could watch Mork and Mindy. Like, and that really kind of, I think, it really put into words kind of what I guess I had been feeling, was that, I mean, there are people that we kind of grow up with. Obviously, Robin Williams is much older than I am, but there are points in my life where I remember watching Good Morning Vietnam and being like, this is different than anything I've ever seen. Watching For sure. Hook, watching Aladdin, like, these are things in my life that kind of tick mark mm-hmm. different times. And so when something that big happens, when somebody who has impacted your life, even though you don't know them, passes, it can be impactful for sure.
A few things, you know, we mentioned a number of movies, and I wanted to kind of bring it up before we moved on too far from what we were picking movies. 142 acting credits on IMDb.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, you're saying,
real quick, though, what I wanted to say is there's this, like, of all the movies there are, there's ones that we hadn't even gotten to that are amazing. Jacob the Liar. There's Patch Adams, which he is well known for. Mm-hmm. But there is also, you know, Deconstructing Harry.
Yeah, I was thinking about
Jack.
That one, too.
Jack and the Birdcage.
I said, like, the Birdcage.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I missed it.
The Birdcage.
There was Dead Again.
But even you mentioned, I believe, Adam, or no, Tyler, you were the one who said the little roles that he was in.
Like the doctor in nine months.
That's what I was just about to
right.
say.
Yeah, because that's the funniest part
of that movie.
That's the best part of that whole movie is his doctor. No, that was one of the specific ones I was thinking of, is that little role there, you know, something small.
Oh,
like
I got
that.
The date wrong. Got the date wrong. I mean, he was hilarious. But, and that even reminds me of, too, if we talk about the influence you brought up, Micro, but, you know, we were talking about Christopher Reeves earlier. And when he had his injury and hurt his back, and of course before he became paralyzed, and who was the person that marched into the hospital completely in all surgical gear, mask on face, Russian accent, ready to give him a rectal exam? It was, you know, his best bud, Robin Williams. People as you know, as from Norm Macdonald to whoever, recounting times that they met him and he influenced them, to the fact that this happened while Conan O'Brien was recording his late show, and they paused and did a whole kind of like moving tribute to him even on it. It's, you know, it's, that's why I think a point saying is that it's, there's no wrong in being moved by a celebrity, especially somebody who brought that much joy to your childhood. Mm-hmm. And then also that much credibility to film as you got older. It was just, it was perfect, especially, I mean, for everybody, but especially, you know, Adam or Tyler, I guess, and I specifically, but even Adam a couple years older, we're talking about our age group perfectly, because when we were the child, that's when those child films came out.
Well, I mean, he's been,
we've grown up.
He's been an omnipresent part of pop culture for 30 plus years now. And every, no matter who you are in that period of time, he's done something that you love. Mm-hmm. And he's probably done a lot of things you don't even know about, never seen, but something he did, like, had some sort of impact on you in the last 30 years, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not just his films, we were talking about it earlier. On the way over, Bob was listening to...
Yeah, I was listening to satellite radio, and you know, he was talking about some of his stand-up. He had made a comment where his dad asked him, you know, when he said he was going to become an actor, he says, well, you need another job to fall back on, so try welding. And he actually went to welding school, but he dropped out after the second day because the welding instructor only had one eye, you know. So I mean, it was just listening to him because it was a town hall interview, and actually Whoopi Goldberg was the one running the interview, which was really cool. But just listening to him talk and just explain things, and you know, he wasn't trying to be funny. He was just kind of passing on advice.
But he couldn't not be funny when he was, like,
I know, and that
could
was
not the, be entertaining.
You know, I think it's because of how lovable he seems. Which is why I think that role that he plays in Good Will Hunting, it's like, you know, you always want that role that an actor plays that is supposed to represent them so that you can be closer to them, so that you can say, I know the real that actor. And that one seemed to be like what we all hoped that he would be, that really kind, loving, supportive, and funny person, just because you love him so much.
Yeah.
The other thing too, you think of, you know, listening to something him outside of the movies. I don't know. I'm sure when I start telling the story that the rest of y'all might share this, but I remember having HBO, and I think it must have been a preview weekend.
Live on Broadway.
Yeah. Too young. I was too young to be watching that.
That's
but
the
because
only
we had a preview weekend.
I bought that.
Yeah.
We had a preview weekend watching
There's
that.
One is that the last one, the last
yeah,
big
the last
HBO.
All the water. Oh,
yeah.
So all the water. Yeah.
There's a joke in that one, and it's a little, like, I won't spell it out because it's a little racy.
I know which
one
you're talking about. I know which one you're talking about.
To this day is probably, I've never laughed so hard in my life, and it's the one where he puts his face in the
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh, that was whole hard.
Oh, I've never laughed so hard in my entire life. Just thinking about it right now gets me.
You've never laughed so hard in your entire life.
I watched that for the first time
with my mother.
I'm tying the top of my can here.
Yeah, that was just so
That might be when you talk about, I mean, you talk about those iconic stand-up moments for people. There's, you know, the Richard Pryor one. There's Eddie Murphy's one. There's those iconic moments where I'm just saying those names and everybody knows which stand-up routine I'm
talking
about.
Right.
And that's the Robin Williams one.
Oh, yeah.
And when I just,
for sure.
when you say Robin Williams' names with those other guys, with another few guys we can mention too, I mean, that shows you Robin Williams wasn't necessarily, well, he obviously wasn't most known for being a stand-up comedian, but it obviously showed
he could hold his own.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, like, people forget, like, how big a deal comic relief was through, like, the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a big deal every year. Between him, Bobby, Billy Crystal, and Whoopi Goldberg, like, that was...
Oh, yeah, my
you
family
look
forward
to that
to
year,
it, right, yeah.
Every
oh, yeah.
year, like, comic relief.
And he's the edgy
come.
One of the three, so, of course, everybody, you know, appreciated
well, you
him
never
a little
knew,
bit more.
You never knew what he was going to do.
Exactly.
And I can't remember, was it one of you guys that put Blame Canada on last?
Yeah, I shared Blame. So he performed for when Trey Parker and Matt Stone were nominated for an Academy Award, which now means they get to go to every Academy Awards for the show they want to. A whole nother side note
Hopefully
there.
Not but, dressed in J-Lo's dress.
Every song nominated for Best Original Song is performed during the Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been done for years.
They don't really do that. I don't feel like they do that anymore.
They still stopped doing it, and now they're starting to do it again because it got really boring. Because
they didn't do it the year, because there was only two songs that year.
They did it this past year because with the Frozen song and everything.
Yeah, because
sure.
a couple years ago, granted, there was only two songs nominated, but the year that Man or Muppet won, they didn't do it. But it was only two songs.
Yeah.
So, was that
so I think
song,
it's but. When there's enough songs, too. But he, obviously, it didn't win. Best Original Song, but it won in everybody's heart because Robin Williams was the one who performed it on stage.
Yeah.
And he comes out with the black tape over his face and you know, mumbling, takes it off, and then just belts into Blame Canada. It's not even a real cut tree anyway.
I showed that at work today, and everybody just was just busting.
It's hilarious. It's
the one I was just watching was I've watched Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin like 10 times the last.
And I had totally forgot that he was in that.
Oh, God, I love that music video. And I was whistling it at work all day yesterday.
I hope they hated you.
Yeah.
I told you, if they keep getting mad at you for whistling, just start singing it and say.
They won't be mad about that.
Should have let me whistle.
I've heard him sing.
I see what you did there.
No, but I mean, obviously, all the way around, beyond just the acting part, definitely, you know, definitely an iconic actor, but it's definitely a sad thing. I mean, any passing is sad and all, but the way it happened and he was still young enough, it's really that much harder. And I think it's what I've seen from yesterday, all the conversation about him and about his influence, and today, the amount of conversation I'm seeing about depression awareness and things like that, it's appropriate in most parts, and I appreciate that. And I think it's like, you know, it's such a fragile way to word it, but you know, if there was anything to come of this, is what I'm trying to say, for it to be
awareness.
Wait a second,
awareness.
Somebody that was that influenced this many laughs in the past so many years. You know, suffered this. This is not something, you know, this is something people need to admit that it could be anybody. It's not just something that you dismiss.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we could talk an entire episode as if this one hasn't been a downer enough, but it's something that I've always, it's something very personal to me, but I don't feel like as a society, sometimes we adequately understand what depression is.
Yeah.
It's not being sad a lot.
No.
Like it's not being in the dumps. Like it's a whole another thing, and there's some really good people out there recently who have done some less, I guess, scientific or less like curated writing on it. Ali Brosh of Hyperbole and a Half, for instance, has a really good 2-part blog series about it. I've having her struggles with it, explain it. There's a lot of other people out there do it, but it's like people will make complaints about the, you know, how suicide is a selfish decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in the depths of really bad depression, you're not capable of making rational decisions about yourself or those around you. Like, I wish people, I mean, mental health in general in our country and worldwide is not as well addressed as it should be, but depression especially is something that people, I guarantee you know someone who is suffering from or has suffered from depression, and it's not something you can cheer them up out of.
You can't snap them out of it.
You can't, like, oh, you should just do this or just do that. You can't. It's not how it works, I guess. And there's just, I mean, I could go on about this for hours, but it's, hopefully it raises awareness. People go out and find out more about it, get better educated about this. But what it really is, and it's not your friend's been down the dumps for a while.
Agreed.
Like, kind of thing.
Agreed. And that's what I think is the best, you know, if there's anything to come out of this is hopefully that it's that seeing now, oh, wait a second, it's, you know, somebody, like you said, it's not just, oh, he never seemed upset. He was always making people laugh. He was always funny. You know, that's not related to the disease necessarily. So, you know, I think about it and I think of the many other things that are coming out of it. I know you watched Hook last night. You watched Robin Williams. You were working, so.
Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Don't Worry, Be Happy. I went to my other comfort zone. I just went to Scrubs and kind of got away. I honestly don't know if I could have watched the Robin Williams movie last night. And to tie it into that depression thing, it's one of those things where, you know, this blindsided people that knew Robin Williams too. This wasn't like, you know, of course he was being treated for it, but it wasn't. And not to dismiss the other recent celebrity suicides, but it wasn't. You know, people had seen, you know, the drug activity, the stuff like that coming, and drug overdose is different than Susan, but you know, all those types of early deaths, I guess the way to put it. But not too long before this, a cousin of mine just took his own life, and it was out of nowhere too. So it was kind of, I think that's what hit me the hardest, was it hit really, you know, close to home on that. And so it's something, that's why when I say I hope the awareness can be out there, because nobody saw that coming for my cousin, and it sounds too, a lot of people didn't see it coming who were close with Robin Williams either. So
Any more terribly depressing things?
No,
to talk
I was going to say, on if we want to try to you know,
I don't know if we can recover this one.
We can. There's plenty of Robin Williams moments that you can, and I don't know. I'm trying to, now that, you know, thinking of it a little bit, recounting, trying to recount memories of certain movies. Maybe not initial viewings, but I think I mentioned seeing Hook on the big screen. One of my favorite moments was my first trip to the many that have followed to the Draft House Theater in Kansas City, the new location when they bought it from the AMC. It was the AMC Main Street down there, right outside the Power and Light District. And we went to a Lost Boys feast to Hook. On it was a Sunday night. It was the 30th of December, so it was right before New Year's Eve. But we got to enjoy Hook in 35mm. Wonderful.
Oh, glorious.
But on top of that, we got treated to a feast, and we were fed. The first course was a personal cheeseburger pizza with a side of fries covered in cheese.
Cheese fries.
Yeah, and then 20 minutes later, they brought you out a full-size smoked turkey leg with roasted potatoes and vegetables. And then you got this whipped dessert that was colored, you know,
for your
third course. Of course, I don't think there was a single person in that theater that finished all that food. But it was like the experience, like there was ever a sense as the type of world that this group lives in, convention visiting and all this fun stuff we do. There's plenty of moments that I feel like a child again. But if there ever was that big moment where I felt once again like a child as an adult, it was at that movie right there, and it was definitely a great experience for sure. Yeah. Any other? I was kind of hoping that it would just naturally wrangle into other experiences, other joyful moments, Tyler.
Not really. No, I'm just a little more sad now. Thanks, Iggy. Bringing that one down.
No, it's a good story.
Well, I know it's still kind of in the downer, but I know one of the theaters in Kansas City is actually doing a Robin Williams tribute next week at some point.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm jumping in right away. I have unfollowed the Screenland Armor on Kansas City. On the night of his passing, you announced 3 paid movies that you can come watch this weekend of him.
Yeah.
A little tasteless, in my opinion. No, I think it's just moving too fast. It's one thing to say, yeah, let's have the marathon and remember it, but when everybody's sitting there, they're posting it on their social media already. This is how much the tickets are. This is what time this showing is. Here's tribute number 2 for this movie. This is how much. Nope. No, thank you.
Yeah,
that's a little tasteless, in my opinion.
But be sure to tune in for our podcast where we talk about
Are we asking anybody to give us money for it?
It's one of those things.
I can see where you think it's a little bit tasteless, but at the same time,
but
costs money to show
up. What they're doing is the money is going to the depression.
Did they said that? Because they didn't say it initially, and they got some lashback on those initial posts, and that's probably why they
did. Yeah, it's probably why.
I know I felt it was more tasteful, like today, the day after, when Adam J.
Yeah, they were already, doing a Hook. Tribute number 1.
You're doing it that quick, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. They were posting it. They were posting it without any charity information or tie-ins on the night, like, that everybody was going crazy about last night, and, by the time this airs, Monday night. More tasteful, so I wouldn't be as bothered, Tyler, to kind of defend my statement on that being tasteless. Is more tasteful is something like Wild Bangarang, so Adam J's new tights company, reaching out to his fans the day after saying, hey, let's raise some money for awareness on this. What kind of tights should we do to, you know, we're in the middle of getting our first run of tights. The whole thing of Wild Bangarang, Lost Girls, all kind of themed around that kind of whole Hook stuff. So let's do something that kind of pays tribute to that, but 100% of the profits go here. To me, I'm not bothered by that because that's tasteful. It was a day after. He didn't just jump out there right when everybody was posting their stuff. I'm sorry. I'm still a little put out. And even if they have come back and say charity on this now, which is good, the way they did it, I was not impressed with the Screenland
Armor. It was pretty tacky.
So sorry to...
Yeah, there's a difference between like just being... oh, no, I'm so upset about it. Let me do this one thing that I can, which is run a theater and share all these things.
And when
you come across as...
I agree with you, Tyler. You got it. I mean, for them to even get the rights to show the movie at the theater, they're going to have to pay out some money, so they need to pay for it. But give it a day or immediately mention, hey, we're going to do this for charity or something, you know?
Yeah.
But we won't get caught up on that because we were trying to find a positive avenue. But the point is Bob was trying to bring up is that there probably are going to be many theaters across the country revisiting a lot of his classics. So, all right, Aaron, a positive story.
You guys want to hear it?
Yes, sure.
Okay. So when I was growing up, we didn't have very many movies, like ever. I'm pretty sure that I've mentioned that the only 2 movies that I watched growing up were Pulp Fiction and Wayne's World. Okay, 3 movies. And the other one was Mrs. Doubtfire, because we only had a few VHS tapes. One of, like, one Christmas later, I got Aladdin, but, like...
You had a hell of a life if your Pulp Fiction was one of those movies.
It was, from the time I was, like, about 10 years old. But point is, Robin Williams has always been, and always will be, that person who was just in every movie that I loved, always. He was...
Let's not have me dig for an edit here. Come on, keep going.
He was, you know, he was in all those great movies. You know, the only things that I could sit down and watch with my whole family, you know, if I were to sneak Pulp Fiction when my parents were out of the house, it'd be one thing. But to sit there and watch Mrs. Doubtfire again and again with all your family, or, you know, you could watch it with your grandparents.
What's up?
You could watch it with,
Yeah, but, I mean, Mrs. Doubtfire was always the movie that, my mom wasn't a real big Robin Williams fan, but she
But everybody loved Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Everyone loves Mrs. Doubtfire. No one doesn't like that movie. They like parfaits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's moments. The more we're talking about, the more I'm thinking of other, I don't know, moments with him. I don't know. I really, 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 really liked Aladdin when I was a kid.
Yeah, I don't know
a
if there
lot.
Was...
Knew all the songs and saw it in the theater, I think, multiple times. Because, like I said, it came out, like, 9, 10 years old. Like, it was the sweet spot. Because that was, like, the first of that, like, Disney Renaissance movie that really, like, I was at right at the age. Because, like, Little Mermaid I enjoyed, but it was a little bit too early for me.
It was still
And then by the
kids.
Time... And, like, Beauty and the Beast was a pretty big deal. And, like, Lion King was a little bit too late for me, but, like, Aladdin was in the sweet spot. And I don't know. And his performance in it is a huge part of it. And, like, you go back in now, and, like, there's parts of the performance I totally didn't even understand. There's things he's saying fast that the words, like, legitimately, like, couldn't make out what he was saying. And just, it was fun and high energy and exciting. And now you go back, and it's still good, good for different reasons. But
yeah, one of the things that was really cool is... the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Science last night, they posted a picture of the lamp with the genie smoke going up. And
person post to social media, though, like, genie, you're free now. I think
you're free, genie. Yeah,
I know that one kind of got some back and forth for sure. But the other one, there was some good images. There was the, you know, the good ones of the group from Hook with the quotes, the Peter Pan quotes.
Yeah.
There was there's, you know, like you said, somebody shared the Alan Moore's quote for the joke from Watchmen, which was more than appropriately fitting for the role. And then, of course, there's always the, the people referencing the Oh Captain, My Captain. And
yeah, the two that I saw that were interesting is the stoop that was used, like, in Mrs. Doubtfire. This morning was covered in, like, flowers and stuff like that.
And
like,
I heard
the
Morgan,
actually,
and
like,
the Morgan Mindy house was covered with flowers.
And then the other one is
the bench
from Good Will Hunting has, like, footprints drawn in it, and then the message, like, sorry guys, I went to see about a girl.
Yeah.
Like, it was
kind
of funny.
Yeah, that one, kinda, like, sweet. Almost brings tears to your eyes.
That
one's
kind of sweet.
Well, you have to, like, you can't get mad at anybody for posting something like, now, Genie, you're free. Because people...
I'm not mad about it. I'm just
gonna,
like, that was the one message over and over.
It is irritating, you know, to see these things because it's like, meh. But everybody deals with things in their own different way.
Well, nobody said they were mad, so thank you for saying we were. But nobody said they were mad. We just said it was the one image that definitely wasn't probably the most fitting for the situation. It's hard to say, you know, it's freedom, but we won't get back on the depression talk. But, Adam, I don't know, moments... memories of certain movies at the right times. I'm with Tyler on the Aladdin one. It was the perfect timing, and not only that, of the group of movies you listed, like, I look back now and watch them, and when you look at those movies, like, Beauty and the Beast is probably one of the best movies Disney has ever
made. That renaissance from Little Mermaid to Lion King, so those four: Little Mermaid, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin. Those are four of the greatest animated films ever made.
Yeah. But my point is when you look back, you put, like, when you look at the quality of movie made, you see Beauty and the Beast, but still, I could watch Aladdin 20 times more than even those other three, just because it was, the characters,
it was
but
funny.
It was perfect too, because it had the right amount of action in it and all that kind of stuff. But like you said, the genie character, I still laugh, like, hysterically at moments from the genie. So
I think the reason, I mean, the big reason what those two were as popular. Like those four were as popular as though as what are their names?
Music.
God, what are their two? The two guys that were the writer, lyricist, and musician who did all those ones. And I'm blanking on their names right now, but the songs are so good.
They're so
Prince Ali.
Alan Menken.
Alan Menken is one of them, and the other one, and then and Never Had a Friend Like Me. God, it's just good music.
Mm-hmm. Adam.
Well, I mean, I kind of already said Hook was right in there for me.
But I maybe not so much the movie, but the do you remember the first time you saw Hook? Or
no, that memory would be watching Robin Williams live on Broadway with my mom. my mom and I have
probably the best story of the night.
My mom and I have a fantastic relationship, and my mom loves movies, so a lot of my early experience with movies, you know, is watching A Clockwork Orange with my mom. Or watching, you know, any of these just movies that you're like, afterwards, I'm like, I can't believe I just watched that with my mom.
How is Adam the most normal out of all of us, by the way?
Because those movies were no big deal at my house. It was just like, oh, what do you want to watch? What do you want to listen to? My parents weren't very open about what media is and about, you know, the right way to digest it and to critically think about it. But yeah, that Robin Williams live on Broadway, like I said, I've seen a lot of stand-ups, you know, Eddie Murphy, Delirious and Raw, Bill Cosby stuff, and, you know, more recently, you know, I enjoy the Dane Cook stand-ups, I'll say it.
You just lost my respect.
Why do you guys think I'm funny? Why do you guys think I'm funny?
I love Dane Cook.
So what is the Scrubs reference, when Jimmy the overly touching orderly does his Dane Cook impression?
Yeah.
So people ask me, hey, Dane Cook. Yeah, they use my full name. Why do you think I'm funny? Why do you people think? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, but that's still the only stand-up comedy thing I've ever bought. And I bought it pretty much the week after it came out. As soon as it came out, I was out the store buying it on DVD. Just because it's so, so funny. Like, front to back, and then ending it the way he ends it with.
Yeah, the arm.
Yeah, with his head buried in his arm. so good.
And climactic finish.
We need to pull that up after we're done.
Exactly.
Here.
And, you know, starting off with probably 38 water bottles.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if they're definitely, at least weren't full, because half of them were laying on the ground.
Oh, yeah. He goes through a ton of them. And the man is just pouring sweat. And, oh, everything about it was just really, really, really good. And I enjoyed watching it with my mom. I thought it was great.
It's a good memory. So,
two.
I'm gonna put you all on the spot here. You have to make a quick decision for this, but we've mentioned so many movies. It might be easier for some, harder others. So you get a speaking of movie marathon. So you get a theater room. You get to run it out. You get to watch three Robin Williams movies. Which movies are you taking?
I would take, in order. Oh, that's hard. I would take Hook, followed by 1 hour photo, and probably end with Good Will Hunting.
You're all over the map with that.
It's a good set. Anybody else got a three? Or are we still thinking?
I would have to start off. I have to start off with World According to Garp. I would go then into Dead Poets Society. And then I probably would have to go with Good Morning Vietnam. Just kind of ended on a lighter note.
All right.
I want to have like 10.
Yeah. You only get three.
That was the tough part. Yeah.
Three is not fair. That's cheating.
Three.
I'll take I'll take definitely. No matter what, I would take Good Will Hunting and probably Hook. You can't not take Hook. And then, can I come back to my third one?
No, you were on the spot. That's the point. The point is when you're laying in bed tonight, you're like, why didn't I say this movie? I want you to think about me while you're laying in bed tonight.
Can I take, like, the Mork and Mindy series or something?
That's quite a marathon.
It would be a marathon.
I said movies, but whatever.
Show. I'm sure they did a clip show. It was the 70s and 80s.
It would probably be Mrs. Doubtfire, just because it's Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mm-hmm. Are you still researching?
I got to keep it light. I got to keep it. I can't go. It's too soon. Got to keep it light. So I'm going to say we're going to do We'll go chronologically. We're going to do Club Paradise, then we're going to do Mrs. Doubtfire, and then we're going to do The Birdcage.
I'm gonna.
I'd pay money to see that. Actually.
I'm going straight for all the nostalgia feelings for me, and I'm opening with Aladdin, put Good Will Hunting in the middle, and then closing with Hook. That's
solid.
Aladdin, I love it so much, but I want to see his face.
Yeah, I love Aladdin too, but I had to put something with him actually.
But I can't. I got two with him in there.
Am I the only one who sees his face when I hear the genie?
I don't know.
I mean,
the genie character
that's
is.
True.
I mean,
good point.
That is what if that's one of his most iconic characters easily. So
yeah.
Whether it's drawn or whether it's him, it's definitely.
Oh, it's all him.
I'm kind of with you. There's tons of other movies that you could put in there that I might even say
Popeye. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd put Popeye in my three movie marathon.
He is phenomenal in that.
He's
movie.
Good.
Really, oh my gosh.
That was my defense earlier. Even the movies that I did not love that he was in, his performances.
Around the same time as like Club Paradise with him and Tim Robbins for the car salesman.
Cadillac Man. Yeah. That was a good one.
That was a good one. That one's fun.
I don't know, but it's. I'm kind of with same with Tyler. I gotta keep it light. Those are definitely the ones that I would walk out of that movie marathon with just a giant grin on my face.
What
like,
I'd really like to do would be like two.
So and you get the drama marathon.
And have like a three-piece drama,
and you
comedy
know,
marathon.
You know, it actually,
yeah.
I mean, he does have the Night at the Museum Part 3 coming out.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard to watch.
Well, there's not a. Mm-hmm. There's
he
not
has a couple things.
Yeah, he's got
I
think Miss Doubtfire 2 still.
Well,
they didn't start that one yet.
He had just had that one movie come out that went like on demand.
Angriest Man in Brooklyn or something like that. Yeah,
with him and who else was it? There was quite a few people.
I heard of it, but I hadn't seen.
I saw trailers for it.
I saw.
Peter Dinklage is in it.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah, I remember wanting to watch the trailers when like, but it was always at those times to where I just couldn't get to it, and by the time I did, I'd forgotten. But, he's got a few still on there. I don't know. It was a mixed bag on him. Is it Mrs. Doubtfire 2? Was it really needed? And they finally convinced the rest of the cast to do it, and so they were moving for it, but they hadn't even started.
They're
any
still in
filming
pre-production.
Or anything. I do know. I can't even think of the actress's name right now.
Moira Kelly, the little girl.
Yep. Yeah, she's pretty beat up about it, and she even posted publicly yesterday that she wouldn't like. She apologized to her followers on social media and said she wouldn't be replying to things for a couple weeks because she needed some time. So,
yeah,
I know that's. I mean, it's got to be hard because. Could you imagine being a kid and being on set with him? Like, how much would you love that guy
right.
even more?
I saw the post from Billy Crystal and Whoopi Goldberg. They both basically said, no words. There's no words.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just... It's going to be hard for people to get past this one, I think. It's going to be really hard.
For sure. Well, with that, we have about 5 to 10 minutes left, so I do want to encourage you all first to share your favorite Robin Williams movies. I know Adam posted it the night of, just said he would be watching, or he was watching Hook, and asked people to share, and some people listed some good movies, but definitely feel free on the post, whether it's social media, the blog, or our Podbean page to comment on this one and just let us know, you know, what were your favorite movies, maybe a memory, like kind of we talked about those memories of maybe it was watching his stand-up comedy with your mom for the first time. maybe it was like the micro story that was a really, really good one too,
right.
You know, there's a variety of things you can post. Definitely feel free to share it with us. Please comment on it. We'd definitely love to hear from you on it. The other thing I did want to do is though spend a little bit of time talking about more other events, I guess, this week. So things that are in the know. I do know we spent a lot of last episode talking about the Ninja Turtles. I actually didn't go see it. We did get caught up at Mataku and had a crazy filled weekend. But Adam and Bob. Bob, did you end up going?
I did not see it.
So, yeah, that's right. You
I'm the only
it.
One who saw this movie.
Adam
You're
is
the
only
one who had the
one.
Guts
that
to
one
say,
wow, no one saw that coming.
Not see that one.
I didn't even see that one coming.
So, Just a maybe a one sentence summary.
Yeah, one sentence summary would be, like most everybody else, I'm not unhappy that I saw the movie, but I also really don't have anything positive to say about it. So, it would be just that there's, you're not getting anything new.
Not as bad as Transformers
been there,
2.
Been there, done that?
Right, yeah, with just about absolutely everything. And my problem, if it were any other movie other than the Turtles, I'd be like, it was a fine movie. It just kind of was there. But since it's the Turtles, and the Turtles were created to be something different in the comic book industry and basically every industry they went into afterwards, the fact that it's not something different is pretty disappointing. The fact that it is just, here's more of the same stuff you've seen in every movie that's been out, every action movie that's been out the last 5 years.
So who had the highest guess last, who was it? I think we all were relatively low.
Oh, yeah, we were all
40s.
About half off. Yeah,
so, we were all,
I think we all were going Guardians.
We did say, though, we did at the end, I think, come to a consensus saying as well, if it did better than this, we wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
like, surprised.
Right, not totally shocked.
But we don't expect it to.
But,
and it did. It did good, and I think
I'm not shocked that it made a lot of money. I'm shocked it made so much more money than Guardians of the Galaxy.
That is really surprising.
But like I said, but Guardians, I mean, they predicted it to hit about $45 million, and Guardians hit $45
million.
But no one predicted Turtles making
I really feel those nostalgia strings were tugging this weekend because people like Adam, who wouldn't have gone and saw it. I mean,
but he was going to go see Fifth Element.
I know.
The nostalgia strings were strong on Saturday night, and when I couldn't see Fifth Element, it probably had to be a Ninja Turtle movie.
Yeah, I would say, did Laura go, let's go see Ninja Turtles, or?
No, she was.
She was like,
she's
Adam,
still
are
upset
you serious?
We haven't seen the Fifth Element.
Well, they, I think, as Tyler pointed out, this isn't the first time it's made it to the Late Show over there, so maybe we'll get another chance soon. But, I honestly think that extra pull at the theater was just that, I mean, it's the name, the Ninja Turtles. I think you were going to get people to go to it. But
I have a feeling it's going to drop.
Sequel, But
sequel's already been greenlit.
Because of it, so we'll see where it goes. Other things this week so far, being that we are based out of the Kansas City area, I will go ahead and put it out there on the sports sides of things that Tyler and Adam are two happy campers right now with the Royals and Sporting KC both in first place in their respective leagues, as well as the Chiefs winning their preseason opener. So,
things are good in Kansas City right now.
It's hard to explain, you know, a lifetime of being a Kansas City sports fan, like how hard it's been, and this. I mean, this is the best our team.
It's a pretty
this
happy
the best
August.
Position our team has been in since.
Oh, holy crap! It's August and the Royals are in first place. Holy, like that just ticked.
Well, and
11
start,
years.
And you start going down through like the lists of like, you know, the 2003, you know, collapse. You go back to.
I don't want
to
talk about.
Well, like so, the game we won yesterday on, for those of you the one that put us into first place. So we beat the A's on August 11th, and. Really popular sports writer / dermatologist / Royals, huge Royals fans, Rainey Gesserelli, who writes a lot about the art. He has a blog called Rainey on the Royals. He writes articles for Grantland, stuff like that. Had one of the best tweets that was also one of the most crushing parts of a Royals fan is the best thing about this year of Royals win game today on August 11th is that there's a game tomorrow on August 12th. Because of those of you who don't remember, August 11th, August 12th is the 20-year anniversary of the 1994 strike.
The Expos winning the World's. Oh.
Well, the Royals in first place in their division. Oh.
Nothing.
So.
But for those of you who are unaware, like just to put it a little bit into context, the Royals went to the World Series, went to the playoffs, went to the World Series in 1985 and won under George Brett.
Woo.
Since then, it's been 28 years. Every single major league team, and I don't mean major league baseball team, I mean major league baseball team, NFL team, NHL team, and NBA team that's currently active has gone to their form of the playoffs at least once.
Hold on.
Except
to put
for the
that
Royals
in perspective,
in 28 years.
To put that in perspective, even the Detroit Lions have been to the playoffs since the Kansas City Royals.
The Detroit Lions? Oh, no, that's true. Yeah, Detroit Lions. Well, even like every single team in all the rest of
all of them, yes.
Detroit Lions. The Cleveland Browns have been in the playoffs for that period of time.
So if you're a sports
fan.
The
Chiefs have been to the playoffs in that period of time.
So if you're a sports fan and a KC KC person, which I'd assume we'd have some Kansas City following here, especially after 2 years of our tour. But other things, too. I know more information dropping on the Gotham TV series. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling that sold on it, but I don't know. We talked a little bit about that last time.
To be fair, though, you don't like TV drama.
That's true. What else is going on in the world?
GamesCon right now.
GamesCon. Oh, yeah, that's right. So yeah. It supposedly supposed to get some big announcements, some more Halo information from Microsoft. Well, the great thing about it, it's all streaming on Twitch, like the entire thing.
Oh, yeah. So a couple big announcements so far. Sony reported 10 million units sold. 10 million PS4s in somebody's house. So not shipped. They were very clear.
Shipped, sold.
Not shipped.
Shipped,
sold.
It's the same thing.
Sitting in
it's
a home.
Really not.
Probably plugged into a wall and TV at this point in time right now. So that's a big number for them. Microsoft.
But only turned on once in the past month.
Yeah, well.
And that's because Adam, that's cause Adam was over.
Use
yeah, other people play their games.
We're going to stream it back. Go on.
Microsoft then counters with the new Tomb Raider game, Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Only.
Exclusive to the Xbox One. Which
bananas?
I don't know.
That's not enough pull though. I don't think it's enough.
Right. That's the thing. It's a very bizarre announcement from Microsoft's standpoint. From Square Enix, I can see where they're coming from. To get an exclusive title from a third party company, you have to pay them money, so they don't put their game out on the other system. So Microsoft paid Square Enix money. So Square Enix got paid because the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, they're gonna want to make the difference they would have made.
The Tomb Raider relaunch. Didn't sell that well. Like, I knew it was supposed to. It was going to be...
Which is stupid, because it is awesome.
It's an amazing game, right? I really liked it, but it did not sell well. So, Square Enix...
I think it was a little too late. Like, it needed to come out a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
We had reached a point where there were people... The vast majority of people playing video games had never played a Tomb Raider.
And it wasn't right. It didn't come out... It didn't come out at launch either, wasn't it?
It was January.
So, it was, like,
well,
after the
holiday.
Well,
it came out on previous systems...
The remastered one was still after the system launch.
Right, after system launch.
And I'm pretty sure post-holidays even,
right,
which is not the wisest decision.
So it didn't sell well, so Square gets their money, so it's a good decision by them, but I'm with Yugi. I don't see that game moving enough Xbox systems to justify the exclusive payout.
But does it doesn't matter. Like, to Microsoft, it might not be we moved enough systems. When you have the type of money that companies like Microsoft and Sony have, just to kind of be like, suck it, Sony. Like,
yeah,
to
but
them,
the same
that
time,
might
like,
be
the only reason they make decisions like that is to grow market share.
Right.
Because they don't make, they're not going to make money on the Xbox until 4 or 5 years.
Right, they know they're not making money.
And they need it to get into as many houses. And PlayStation 4 is doing a better job right now. They're bundling a white PS4 with Destiny when it comes out.
Yeah.
You can pre-order now. I think that'll drive some units out because people like things that are special colors. And
mm-hmm.
Destiny is going to sell a lot of copies.
The beta, when Phil submitted the review, he didn't put any scores on. I said, Phil, what's the numbers on this? He goes, just whatever categories you make, just make it a perfect. I was like, all right, Phil. So definitely that's, Destiny. Yeah, that'll outsell Tomb Raider. So,
but
Destiny's
on both systems.
I know.
On both systems, yeah.
A lot of video game news coming on. Of course, you can go to twitch.tv to follow that information. Mm-hmm. We'll have some announcements soon this month. This is our big month to kind of put together our fall plan, so we'll get back into our routine for streaming, so you'll see more of us on our Twitch TV channel. Project Nerd Blog?
Project
Nerd Blog is our Twitch TV, or you could just go to project-nerd.com/Twitch. And that'll get you there, too. So, obviously, gaming, big thing right now. A lot of talk about a book. This, We Make a Vow to You, Kim Kardashian's new book, Selfish. Hold on. We've already done the research. First, we will not pay a dime to get it for a review copy. So
nope.
If we can't get it for free, I apologize ahead of time. We are not going to pay money for that book. However, we are going to do everything in our power to get a review copy of that book, so we can not just do a written review.
That would be a special edition.
We're going to do a Nerdcast for you to cover it. So, but we are almost winding down for season 3. So, as we have obtained so many fantastic listeners, we're so pleased to have you all. We do want to let you know that September might be a little bit less. We have saved our Mutaku panel that we'll kind of put with an episode. We may throw out a lost episode. Maybe you can get just part of the crew together for kind of like a preseason episode. Maybe we'll call it that.
Hiatus. So,
yeah, we'll try to get some content out there in September to keep you guys engaged. But do keep in mind, we do have a very busy month ahead of us. So we are going to be a little light there at picking up season 4 at the end of September, beginning of October.
How many more do we have left? Two?
We're going to record 2 more for this season. We've already debuted the new images that we all love for season 4.
Oh,
yeah.
We look awesome.
Yeah,
yeah,
we do.
I want some of those glasses, by the way. But do our point here is if you're listening to this and then in a couple weeks you tune in, we'll make sure we're at least posting on the blog, but also just sharing, you know, like I said, we'll try to share as much content as possible to keep you all engaged because we do love having you. We don't want you to go anywhere. Just keep listening. So
we're going
to
come back fresh.
You're getting a little clingy there.
I am. I'm that like, what's the, there's the meme I saw today of her, the crazy girl, or what is it? The crazy girl.
Overly attached girl.
Yeah. The one that said, I threw you a surprise party. Wedding. So, all right. So I'm going to close this with 3 minutes left so Tyler can open us back up for something else.
I don't know. What else has come out recently? In an interview, James Gunn has said that Star-Lord's father in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 will not be who it was in the comics.
Whoa!
So it will not be Jason of Spartex. So it could be. There's a lot of.
So
I mean,
eat my words for that reporter that released that article then.
The movie doesn't come out for 2 years, so people.
No, 2 years? I thought it was 2017 we're talking.
Oh, is it 3? Yeah, 3 years. People are already speculating. Some people. Ridiculous ones like Yondu, people have said. Star Fox, who is the brother of Thanos, who's...
He's also a badass badass pilot jet from Nintendo 64.
I mean, I was thinking more, yeah, the comic books. People
Super
say
Nintendo and stuff, too. Yeah,
Thanos. I mean, there's a lot of names getting thrown around.
Star Fox 64 was so great.
So God, it was such a good game.
So, all right.
That was a really good game.
Yes, it was.
Well,
yes,
with that, make sure you, like I said, make sure you give us feedback. Of course, always let us know what kind of questions you have. We were going to share. We did remember this time to share the questions, but considering the circumstances, we went with the Robin Williams discussion. So make sure you do watch
a
Robin.
Some questions?
No, but that's what we didn't because we didn't post it out there.
Okay.
Make sure you know you do enjoy a Robin Williams movie this weekend. Take the time. To remember a classic somewhere in there. But other than that, we are going to sign out, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Nerdcast.